Heavenly Father, I ask for the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Open my lips that only your word would be spoken. Open our ears that only your word would be heard. Soften our hearts that we may understand your truth, turn to you, and be healed. This we ask in the name of the risen Jesus Christ. Amen. If you would please turn with me in our Bibles to John chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. In the Red Pew Bibles, this is page 1140. John chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. John's gospel is a wonderful gospel. It's very unique from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And we see things, not only great theology, but we also see the great tenderness of our Lord and the great relationship. And here we have an example of that as he speaks of him being the good shepherd, and we are the sheep. Now, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. This is the word of the Lord. It may seem pretty easy to us to understand what Jesus was talking about, and yet I'm really not so sure that we do understand what it really means that Jesus is trying to call to us, trying to call our name, trying to help us to hear his voice, and how tremendously important that is. Just to take you back to last week, I did share last week that to answer the question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? We answered that in several ways, but one was we must die to self. We must, in fact, worship God because he is worthy of all worship. But also, as part of the covenant, we must obey him, which means we must hear his voice and then obey him. And I talked about how important that was, and so today we want to talk about that third part of hearing the voice of God and obeying him. Now, as I mentioned in our introduction, all the way back in the book of Deuteronomy, as recorded by the prophet Moses, God has been very consistent and very specific about the need for his people to listen to his voice. That whole 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, we just heard a portion of it. But it goes on and on and on. He says, "If you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, be careful to do all his commandments that I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God." As I read this, I'm thinking about us as a nation and how many blessings we have received because our founders listened to the voice of God. And we have been blessed more than any nation in the history of the entire world. That's only half of the chapter. The other half says, "But if you do not listen to my voice and are careful to do all the commandments and statutes that I command you, then all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, cursed shall you be in the field." And it goes on and on. "The Lord will send on you curses, confusion, and frustration in all that you undertake to do until you are destroyed and perish quickly on account of the evil of your deeds, because you have forsaken me." He goes on and on. "The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. The Lord will strike you with madness and blindness and confusion of mind. The people did not listen to the voice of God. And so judgment came upon them. As we hear the prophet Jeremiah, but they did not obey or incline their ear. To incline our ear means they weren't even trying to listen. They weren't even imploring the Lord. They did not obey or incline their ear, but they walked in their own counsels and the stubbornness of their evil hearts. They went backward and not forward. From the day that your fathers came out of the land of Egypt to this day, I have persistently sent all my servants, the prophets, to them day after day. Yet they did not listen to me or incline their ears. They didn't even try, but stiffened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. There's at least two places in the prophet Jeremiah that God tells the prophet, stop praying for this nation. Stop it. They have forsaken my covenant. They will not listen to my voice. My judgment is coming, so stop trying to plead on behalf of them. Stop it. Now, I don't believe we're at that point in our nation yet, but we may be close. Forsaking the covenant of God for killing the innocent, for not heeding his voice. That's how important that is as a nation, as a church, and as individuals. And so we need to consider today this great word of God, how important it is that we, not only as a nation and church, but individuals would hear the voice of God and would heed his voice. If we listen to God, good things will happen, blessings. If we do not listen to God, bad things are going to happen in our lives. That's a pretty clear teaching. What about Jesus? What did Jesus have to say about this? I think you know that many times after a teaching, Jesus would add this little caveat, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. When they asked Jesus, Lord, why do you speak to these people in parables? He said to them, because this people's heart has grown dull, just like their ancestors. They didn't even try to listen. They don't even care to seek God's word. The people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear. That was his judgment against them. But to the disciples he said, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and blessed are your ears, for they hear. I believe that anyone who sincerely seeks truth will, by God who is truth, be given ears that will be able to hear. Anybody who sincerely seeks truth, I believe, will find it in him who is truth. But to those who don't even try, who don't even care, they will not be able to hear, and they will perish in their disobedience. So the disciples didn't understand it when it came to Jesus about hearing his voice. So we need to try to understand, what does it mean to hear the voice of God? Well, I think there are three different ways to hear the voice of God. One, I would say to you, is the written word of God, the Bible. Anyone can pick up the Bible and read it. It's there. It has good things in it that truly are the voice of God. Love your neighbor as yourself. You know, pray for your enemies. Love those who persecute you. Those are all pretty clear. Don't lie. Don't steal. No, don't cheat. Honor your father and your mother. These things are pretty clear. And that's certainly the voice of God as he speaks to us through the scriptures. But I believe there's also a general voice that's given to the nations and to the church. And there are many prophets in our time who have been called by God and are trying to call our nation to repent and return to the Lord and to listen to his voice. Not only the nation, but also our churches. My prayer is that we will heed the voice of God, heed those prophets before it's too late. But I really think what Jesus is talking about in John chapter 10 is this third, which is a real personal kind of hearing the voice of God. He talks about being the shepherd and we're the sheep. What a wonderful image that is. If you've ever read books about the affection, the caring of the good shepherd, not the hired shepherd, but the good shepherd who cares for his sheep. And that is what Jesus is. He is the good shepherd who cares for his sheep. Not only cares for his sheep, but he calls his sheep by name. That's the personal part. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls out his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought out all his own, he goes before them. He goes before us. Isn't that a wonderful thought? No matter what trial we're going in, Jesus is going before us. For the sheep follow him before they know his voice. They will not listen to a stranger because they don't know the stranger's voice. But they know the voice of Jesus. And yet when I read this, I wonder how many true followers of Christ have never heard him call their name. Have you ever heard Jesus call your name? I know some of you have. I believe it's important to think about the fact that he's calling our name. This is personal, intimate relationship that we're having with our Lord. And that's what he's talking about now. So how do we hear that personal voice? One of the things that Derek Prince talks about, I listened to two sermons of his on this. He talks about how the voice of a person is very distinctive, but also intangible. It's intangible. It's not always something you put your hand on, right? Not something you can fully describe. I mean, you can say, well, it's raspy, but you can't fully describe it. And of course, if people make, you know, a living on trying to imitate people's voices, and some of them do it very well. But basically, now they have machines that the voice is so distinct that you can actually, you know, use security systems that only open a safe on a particular person's voice. You know, I saw that on Mission Impossible, right? So they're able to do that, right? So it must be true. It must be true. But the voice is very distinctive, and I think what Derek Prince is saying is also not just God's voice, but all voices. If we think about it, I think it's very true with a parent and a child. We could be at Busch Gardens or Disney World or whatever. Kids, you get bunches of people around, you know, and our kids start off, and we call out to them. And they hear that voice, and hopefully they heed the voice. Not always, but hopefully they heed that voice. They hear it up. Out of all the noise in the amusement park, they'll hear that distinctive voice. Now, I would say another thing to me that's very touching. In C.S. Lewis's book, A Grief Observed, he talks about the loss of his wife. And he talks about this process he went through, and I think all of us can relate to this in one way or another. When we have lost loved ones, what Lewis says is our picture of their face over time will start to blur. Maybe this isn't true for all of you, but it certainly, I think, has been true in our case. The different images we have, you know, are over different times and different ages and so forth, and they kind of get blurred together. But the voice, you never forget the voice. Think of those who have gone on before us. I can hear that voice to this day. How distinctive it is. And whenever I hear it or would hear it in a crowd, I could hear that voice again. So voice is very intangible, but also very distinctive. Now, Prince says it's important because we can hear that distinctive voice of Jesus who is calling us his sheep if we heed that voice. And he offers four very distinct things that we can do to hear the voice of Jesus. The first is to give attention to it. To give attention. That means to seek to hear that voice. That means to make it a point that we want to hear the voice of God. If we think now and say, well, have you heard the voice of God over the last week? Well, I'm not sure. I mean, have you tried to hear the voice of God over the last week? Again, this is, I think, how we were raised. It's how I was raised. We were never taught to try to listen to the voice of God. Certainly not an intimate voice where he's calling my name. But I absolutely believe this is the teaching of Scripture. I've heard them mention the witness of many other people, and I've found it somewhat in my own life. I'm still growing in this, to be able to hear Jesus call my name. What a sweet sound it is. But we must give attention to it. We must have an intentionality about it. This must be a priority in our lives to say, I'm going to seek it. I'm going to try to hear the voice of God. And that begins with an expectation that, in fact, God is trying to speak to me. I think the scriptures are clear. Our God is a God who chooses, who longs, who desires to reveal himself to us. He's calling our name all the time. If the problem is we can't hear it, it's not on his side. It's on our side. But we must give attention to it. That's the first thing that Derek Prince talks about. Second thing he talks about is humility. Boy, this thing, humility, just keeps coming up, doesn't it? Time and time again, what's our relationship with God? How does it get better? Well, something to do with humility. Now, Prince talks about this in a specific way. He says that hearing the voice of God, it's important to be humble because of this fact of human nature. How easy it is to hear what we want to hear. Oh, yeah. We come to God, you know, we've got a direction, we've got this opportunity, we've got whatever, and it's like, all right, I know what I want. All right, oh, by the way, I'm going to go see what God wants me to do. Oh, yeah, you want me to do it? Okay, that's what I wanted to do too, you know, great. Isn't that great, God? How hard it is to hear God tell us something that we don't want to hear. What does it take? It takes humility to humble ourselves before God and say, Lord, help me set aside, help me tear down these strongholds, because that's what they are. These ungodly attitudes and beliefs, some of them we've had since childhood, we need to tear them down. And that begins with humility, humbling ourselves before God, truly trying to hear his voice, not what I already have as a preconceived idea or attitude. So it takes humility. A third thing the Prince talks about is it takes time. It takes time. We must devote, if this is a priority in our lives, it must take time. Now, it's not just a period of time to come before God each day, but I believe it also takes a length of time over maybe weeks, months, and years. I know people who have actively sought to hear the voice of God, and for weeks and even months, they heard nothing. But they persevered, and finally, it's like something broke, and they started to hear God's voice. Some people prayed years. Some churches have prayed years. When John Wimber started his healing ministry, it took months, and nothing happened. And then all of a sudden, the dam broke, and God's just grace just started pouring out. So it takes time, not only set aside time, but also long time. And this is such a challenge to us because I believe busyness in this culture is one of the greatest obstacles to hearing God's voice. We're so darn busy. We're not going to be able to hear that voice if we're so busy with so much other things. All this noise around us just clutters, and we're not able to hear the voice of God. And that leads us to the fourth thing that Derek Prince talks about is quietness. Be still and know that I am God. That knowing is experience. Be still and experience that I am God. Be still and sense my presence as God. Be still. Go into our closet and pray. And what did Jesus say the Father will do? He will reward us. Be still and know that I am God. Get this clutter out. Quiet ourselves. And we will hear the voice of God. If we truly want it, if we truly desire it, God says, you will find me if you seek me with all your heart. That's what this talks about. Be intentional about it. We need to set aside time. We need to have quietness. And we need to humble ourselves before God. So I believe this is an important part of what we hear as the voice of God, because I believe, and not just my personal, but I believe the scriptures tell us the Holy Spirit is constantly trying to speak to us. Do this, don't do that. Go here, don't go there. Buy this, don't buy that. Watch this, don't watch that. Even to this, listen to this one. Pray for this, don't pray for that. What? I thought we're supposed to pray for it. No, no, no. Don't pray for that. You're praying against my will. How about this one? Help this person. Don't help that person. What? What? Don't help them? I thought we're supposed to help everybody. No, God, I'm doing something in this person. I'm doing something, and you're interfering. Get out of the way so I can do what I need to do with this person. Leave them alone. How hard is that? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. See, that's why it's hard. We have to have this humility to come before God, because He's going to tell us things we don't want to hear. But this is personal. This is intimate. This is knowing God and hearing the voice of He who is calling our name. And He is guiding us. Can we hear that voice? Sometimes it is a shout. You know, the voice of the Lord breaks the wilderness. But I believe for most of us, most of the time, like Elijah, it's that still small voice, which means we need to be quiet before the Lord in order to hear it. Hearing the voice of God is so important because it guides everything we do. It's not the scriptural stuff. Again, like loving your neighbor and helping the poor. That's all in Scripture, and certainly that is all from God. I'm talking about this personal stuff that says, turn left instead of turn right. Go here, don't go there. That's the voice I'm thinking about. That's a voice I'm talking about in the Scriptures, because that's Jesus, the shepherd of the sheep, and leading us. If we hear His voice, God will bless us. If we do not hear the voice of God, if we do not even try to hear the voice of God, bad things are going to happen. That's just how it is. Now, I came upon a very profound statement that I want to share with you. When this came to me, and I wrote it, and I thought, boy, that's... Now, I think this is true. I've got like a 95% confidence factor here, okay? Every mistake in my life was made because I did not hear God's voice. Do you think that's a true statement? Every single mistake that we've made. Why? I didn't hear God's voice. Was I even trying to hear God's voice? I tell you, I do marriage counseling. Of course, people come, they want to be married. Many times today, it's a second or a third marriage. And of course, we have to go and talk to people. I have to find out what happened, because you came before somebody and you said these pledges to God that this was the person you wanted to be with for the rest of your life. What happened? Something happened. And when I'll ask them, I'll say, did you go to God and ask God, is this the person you want me to spend the rest of my life with? Now, I've not been in ministry all that time. I'm talking maybe about 20 cases I've met and talked with. So this is not, you know, hundreds, but maybe 20 cases. Every single time. You know what they said to me? We never thought about it at the time. Asking God if this is the person you want. We never thought about it at the time. Doesn't that seem amazing to us? And yet, before we point the finger, how many important decisions have we made without going to the Lord and saying, Lord, is this what you want me to do? How important is this? Wow. This is huge. This is huge. Now, I'm going to talk more next week, some of the things we learned at our Wednesday night study that we did a couple weeks ago, about more specifics. I had to hear that, so I don't want to leave you hanging, except to say that this is possible. There are ways to hear God's voice, that distinctive voice that we know comes from the Lord. There's ways to know that it's of God and not something else. We're going to talk about all that next week. But I would just say today, make the commitment to seek to hear the voice of God, because Jesus said, if we seek, what will happen? We'll find. If we knock on the door, what's going to happen? It's going to be opened. Oh, it's like, Lord, you've been waiting for us to get to this point in our lives, haven't you? I've been longing to call this person by name and have them hear my voice. And maybe today, maybe this week will be the beginning of a new relationship that they'll actually hear me call their name. Oh, what joy, what peace comes from that. What faith is built within us when we know that we're walking according to the voice of God. Anxiety, gone. Doubts, gone. Now, I'm not saying it's an exact science, but I'm saying what a tremendous sense of peace and joy we have when we've sought the Lord about something and He answered us in certain ways and now we're walking in that way. What a joy and peace it is. And good things will happen to us because all things turn out for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. That's His promise. And God keeps His promises. So I believe today we need to begin by expecting that attention I seek the voice of God in my life. I'm going to try to pay attention to it. I'm going to humble myself so I'm not thinking my own things. I'm going to really try to listen to what he's telling me, even if it goes against maybe what I think he should be telling me. And I'm going to spend some time. And I'm going to try to quiet myself. Because it's that important. Could you imagine if I told you, I said, by the way, Billy Graham's been trying to get a hold of you. Billy Graham's been trying to call me? Yeah, Billy, I saw him. He said he's been trying to call you and he can't get a hold of you. Imagine what we would do, the effort we would take is, well, I'm going to get my phone. I'm going to make sure I don't miss the next call from Billy Graham. How much more so the living God of the universe who's saying, I'm trying to get a hold of you and I just can't get through. Yeah. Yeah. It breaks his heart. But maybe today's the beginning of a new learning. Old dogs can learn new tricks, can't we? Our God is a God who longs to speak to us. Our God is a God who longs to help us to hear his voice. Because our God really, really does love us more than we can imagine. Let us pray. O gracious and loving Father, forgive us, Father, for the so many times in our lives that we did not seek your voice. We didn't even try to hear. Or when we heard, we simply substituted our own desires and wishes. Forgive us, Father. But Lord, I pray as of today, we turn the corner. We seek your voice that we may hear the sweet sound of our Savior. And so it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.